Well, as we turn our attention now to the worship of God, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is our second sermon in the series that we're doing on our mission statement, on the text that we've used as the foundation of that statement, Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Last week we looked at speaking the truth to one another in love, and this week we'll be focusing on the idea and the concept of encouraging one another. So once again, let us hear now the Word of God, and I'll begin by reading in verse 8 through verse 16. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that as we look on this concept of encouraging and building up one another as your body, that you, Lord, would be so encouraging us and strengthening us and molding us more into the image of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. We do pray, Lord, that you would bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak your truth clearly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. One of the things I'm convinced of is that as Psalm 19 teaches us that the very heavens declare the glory of God, that God as creator, when he created everything, when he spoke things into being, he did so in such a purposeful way that they do actually, the created world, the general revelation as we call it, does in fact speak to us by illustrating various deep biblical truths. You know, you may have been aware that, you know, tonight we have an event called a blood moon, where there's a lunar eclipse as well. You know, that the idea of an eclipse, whether it's a total eclipse or a lunar eclipse, whatever it may be, it fascinates me. Because it's a clear display for some truths. I mean, consider our solar system has one star. One star that gives us light. You know, that shows us, in a certain way, the truth that God alone is the light of the world. There's only one source of light. The moon is a floating rock that circles around the sky. It doesn't give off light of its own. But yet, when it's a full moon, it is so bright that you could walk around on a clear night without a flashlight. You know, the moon, in many ways, represents what the church is to be. We don't have any light of our own, but we reflect the light of Christ on the world. Now sometimes we're at full brightness, and the world has great light in the midst of darkness. In our neck of the woods, we've got a lot of cloud cover, so there's very little light. Or sometimes when there's an eclipse, the world is actually getting between the sun and the moon, blocking the light of the sun, so the moon does not give its light as it should. When Jesus talks about wheat and tares, these types of weeds look like wheat. They start out looking exactly like it, and you can't tell. Well, God did that, I believe, purposefully to give us an illustration of the state of what we call the visible church, how it's a mixed group. There are those who are God's people, but there are also those who are not. And we will know them by their fruit. These 3 weeks, starting last week, this week, and Lord willing, next week, we'll be looking at another analogy that teaches us great spiritual truths, and that is the relationship of our bodies. The very image of God that He has created. As we look about ourselves and how we are built, how we are put together, it is a great illustration that we have with us at all times of our relationship to our God. And so today we'll be stopping and we'll be looking at that relationship, that particular analogy, as Paul uses it in Ephesians chapter 4. We as a body, growing into our head, is Christ. And the function that we as His body have in relation to our head and in relation to one another. So the theme that we'll be looking at this morning is that as our physical body grows through activity, so does the body of Christ. As our physical bodies grow and are strengthened through activity, so does the body of Christ. So first of all, the church as a body. Now, what does this analogy mean? What do we learn when the scripture says of us and our relationship to Christ that He is our head and that we are His body? Well, first of all, it teaches us in our relationship to Christ. Let us turn further in the book of or letter to of Ephesians to chapter 5. Which Paul, writing on relationship of the family, he gives a clear description of what he means and what Scripture is speaking of about Christ being our head in His relation as head to our body, to His body. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we read, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In this same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of His body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ in the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This imagery that Paul is he's trying to explain the relationship in the home between husband and wife, but in doing that, he shows us this relationship between Christ as our head and His body. It is one of sacrificial love, of a giving up of Himself. All that language of what Christ did in giving Himself up for His church to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to present us glorified in His splendor without spot or wrinkle. This is not something that husbands can do for their wives. This is giving us what Christ, as the head of the church, has done for her. an example of the love it's all pointing to. That moment on the cross, as Jesus gave himself up for her, and then continues to sanctify us and to build us up. Our relationship to Christ as our head is where we get our nourishment, where we are, everything is organized. But it's also a relationship where the head actually gives of itself to the body. Now, how can we learn this from looking at our own physical bodies? And one of the things that comes to mind is the idea of a fever. You know, what happens when we develop a fever and our temperature begins to rise? Now, the reason why that happens is because through the various systems that God has put in place in our own physical heads, as various levels are analyzed, there's a virus there. There's something not supposed to be in the body that's damaging to the body. And so our head, the brain, begins to put into effect a system of raising the level of the body's core temperature in order to fight off and to preserve the body from the virus. Now, most often, this is kept within a certain range, and there's not damage done. But if the fever gets out of control and begins to get to a point of, it can easily damage the actual functioning of the brain. The head itself is at danger and put in danger in that process if it gets out of control, and it can leave irreparable harm or damage if it goes out of control. Now, in a very small way, I know we've got some medical people here in the audience, and I know this illustration probably falls short on many levels. There's probably a reason why God sent me to the pastorate and not the medical field. But it shows us how even in our own physical bodies, there's a measure in which the head is sacrificing itself for the greater good of the whole body. But one of the things our physical bodies teach us also about a relationship with Christ as our head is that we cannot survive without our heads. I mean, that seems pretty simple and basic. But the body will cease to function if the head is not there, or if the signals between the head and the body are cut off. The body will not function as it should. This shows us the intimate relationship we have with our head and the necessary relationship with our head. Now, if someone has a severe accident and they are what we call, you know, brain dead, but they're on a life support system, you might say, well, there, the body is still living without the head. As I considered that situation, it really actually applies well to the state of our state apart from Christ. You know, when someone's brain dead, you pull the plug, everything will cease to work. The head is not there. Although it is there physically, it's not functioning. In a sense, people are being kept alive by a machine. But connected to Christ, our head, that is where real life exists. That is where life is in Christ. But not only does this analogy of the body give us an indication of the intimate need and connection that we have with Christ as our head, it also, brothers and sisters, shows us our relation to one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul there recounts and develops even fuller this analogy of the body, how we are all differing parts working together for the building up of one another. Much like our text this morning on a smaller scale. Each member here this morning has a particular role and function. We have gifts that we have been given to be used for the building up of the body. And as a small congregation, even just our presence here together is a great source of encouragement in building up of one another. It's a means by which we come together in this particular sense where we leave behind the world for a moment and we come together as a body of Christ and we worship one another. So as the body, this illustration or this analogy shows us that we are intimately united to Christ, we are also intimately united to one another through Him. We are one body, brothers and sisters. One body united in Christ, our head. Now, how do we fit in to this body? Well, Paul shows us the very basic function of all of us. When he says in verse 16, "From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This phrase, "every joint with which it is equipped," could literally be translated as "every ligament of support." Every ligament of support. That is our basic function, brothers and sisters, as a church. As the body of Christ, we are a support for one another. Now, God is a God of, or He's a sovereign God, but we also say that He is a God of means. So it is through Christ our head that the body grows and flourishes. But there is a means by which God has put in place to enable that growth and support of His body. And that is you and me. As the church, as the body of Christ, we are each the supporting ligaments, the ligaments of support to give growth to His body. And no part, you know, we might say, well, the appendix. I mean, you could cut off the appendix and be perfectly fine. We may know the function of it, and the doctors can correct me if we do now know the function of it, but even if it's a small, meaningless function, the pinky toenail, you know, all the parts that God has put in place in this body is for a reason. It's for a reason. And we support one another as our physical bodies and its varying support systems. There is no part too small. Up until family camp, I had no idea what a bifurcated ligament was. No idea at all. But now I do. Because I went up to block a spike playing volleyball at camp and came down and I sprained my bifurcated ligament. And it is still in some ways sore today, even though it's been healed. You know, I have to stretch it. Sometimes I do too much. I still need to ice it at night. I get off out of bed or get up from a chair. I still limp a little bit for the first few steps as it gets warmed up. So I know very well now what a bifurcated ligament is. And it affects each step. No part of the body of Christ is unimportant. We all have a role. We all have a function. And that basic function is to support one another. So how do we do that? There are three ways. Worship. This very act. Paul says in Colossians 3:16, to let the word of Christ richly dwell in us, teaching and admonishing one another in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We as a denomination interpret that passage as referencing the 150 psalms of the Old Testament. And so the very act of the congregation here today singing, as we hear one another, we may be singing those words and it may not be striking us as anything, well, what does this really have to do with the service? Or what does this have to do with what's going on in my life? But there may be brothers and sisters that as we're singing together, those words the Holy Spirit is taking and resonating within their heart, comforting them, challenging them, upholding them. And you and I are a part of that when we sing together. Hospitality. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, God commands us to show hospitality to one another. And in 1 Timothy 3, it is a necessity and a requirement to be an elder in Christ's church, that they are hospitable. Fellowship. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and following. Call us not to forsake the gathering together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as we see the day drawing near. Now that has, you know, the purpose, this worship service, but it also, I believe, applies to our times of fellowship together and what we do and how we fellowship with one another. So you and I are the ligaments of support. And God has given us each gifts of various kinds. And what we are called to do is to be considering how can we be a support and encouragement to building up of this particular body. It may not be through physical building up, but an encouragement and a building up of our hearts and our walks in Christ, supporting one another. Well, on our last point this morning, our third point, tying into the theme that we'll be looking at, you know, as our physical body grows and is strengthened through activity, we are called and to be at work as a body of Christ to be healthy. Now, again, going back to because of the forefront of my mind, it's one of the injuries I've had that's in recent memory of my foot. You know, when I went and I saw the podiatrist and he put me in a boot to walk around in for a couple of weeks. Now, my past experience, I knew that my calf was going to be shrinking over time. I mean, I've had enough broken bones to know that when you put something in a cast and you immobilize it, the muscle mass shrinks. But this instance, I didn't have to keep the boot on all the time. I could take it off from time to time. And I was actually shocked and amazed at how quickly I noticed a difference. And it happens fast. When my foot was immobilized just for a few days, I could lie there as I was icing it and lift my legs up, and I could see a clear, stark difference between the muscle mass of my left calf and the muscle mass of my right calf. Our physical bodies are teaching us in this a spiritual reality applicable to our faith as well. If we do not exercise our faith, it will shrink. If we do not partake of the means of grace that God has given us and exercise our faith will begin to atrophy. Just as our physical muscles, if we cease to use them, will begin to shrink and atrophy and become useless. So considering those three ways that we encourage one another and we are ligaments of support for one another, let's first of all consider worship. This very act of when we come together is what many reformers of the past and theologians even today will remind us, this is our highest calling as human beings. This is what we were created for, to offer worship to our God. So when we consider we can support and encourage one another, we have to ask ourselves, what will hinder us, or what does hinder us, from being here? From coming to worship? Or being late to worship? Let us consider, brothers and sisters, as this time is for us to God through His people to build up His body, let us consider how we can make it a top priority to be here. Now, we may have legitimate and real circumstances that keep us from worship. And I don't mean to single out our dear sister Beth today, but she had an amazing experience this morning. She was trapped in an elevator at the Hearthstone. If you're trapped in an elevator and you can't make it to worship, You're off the hook. You can't really help that. But if it's something like traffic, let us analyze our time and leave so many minutes earlier to get here on time. And that is one I know as well very intimately, because as growing up, my family lived about 20 to 30 minutes away from the church building. So we knew that if we didn't leave at a certain time, we'd be stuck in some traffic and be late. So what keeps us from this very act of worship, and not only in the morning, but in the evening? Worship is a means of grace. And I know we only offer it 2 weeks out of the month, or sometimes three, depending if they're five. But the evening worship service is as well a means of grace. What keeps us from that? Why do we deny ourselves the spiritual food of the preaching word and the singing of psalms? The second one is hospitality. Now, we are a loving congregation, and it is one of the things that really drew Alicia and I here when we considered the call coming up on 6 years ago. We are a loving congregation. That's one of the things I love and I cherish about each and every one of you. But we are always in need of growth. We are always in need of analyzing how we function and what we're doing and how we can grow. How often over these past 6 years have you had my family or various families among the congregation into your home for food, for fellowship? If you don't like to cook, that's okay. We can order in. It doesn't have to be a big fancy meal either. You know, as one thing to consider in this is that hospitality and entertainment are not the same. Hospitality and having us over or having people over for meals in the church doesn't mean you bring out the fine crystal, the china, and you've got like three different plate settings and however many forks that too many that I even have hands for. It's just a simple meal. It could be just a snack, a game. The reason for this is we're here in this setting for an hour, hour and a half at most. So when we consider how do we develop and cultivate our love for one another, how do we develop and cultivate fellowship? It's by having each other over in our homes. Breaking bread together. Having conversation. Playing a game together. It's those situations between Sunday to Sunday that really cultivate and develop lasting friendships. Rosaria Butterfield is a name you may or may not have heard of. She was formerly very active in the LGBT community through the faithful ministry of our pastor in Syracuse, New York. She turned away from her homosexual lifestyle and began pursuing Christ and living for Him. And she's written a couple of powerful books, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, which tell her conversion story. But then she also has a new book out, really attacking the very foundations of this gender identity language that we hear a lot about in our culture. Now, in talking with her recently, one of the things she pointed out is that what the LGBT community has, and that they're very successful at, are these times of hospitality and community. That's where they show one another love and support. And her challenge was, as the church in general, we're dropping the ball in this area. We need to be showing hospitality to one another, brothers and sisters. is for our own edification, our own support, and our own building up and growth. The last one is fellowship. Now, hospitality, we can have some fellowship. But as you saw in the bulletin, there are some events added by the social committee. Now, I'm of the opinion that the social committee is actually a very vital committee in our congregation. They set up social events for the church. At these social events, we can come together. We can play games together. We can go to sporting events together. We could watch a movie together. We could eat meals together. These things that the social committee is putting together may seem like, well, I can give or take that, but let us stop and think, how can I be a support or encouragement to this congregation, brothers and sisters? These are moments and times where we can build one another up in love and in fellowship. Tonight we have a psalm sing. I've already mentioned Colossians 3:16, how we teach and admonish one another through the singing of psalms. This is a time where we come together to encourage one another through the singing of psalms. What keeps us from coming to it? Bible studies. We have two weekly Bible studies, one in the north, one in the south. These are opportunities for us to grow in our faith with one another and to be challenged by one another and to be encouraged by one another. Why don't we partake in these? These are ways, just three basic ways, that we exercise our faith. And the challenge for us, brothers and sisters, is for us, you and me alike, to exercise our faith in these ways as a community. Now, this isn't even addressing our individual moments of prayer and scripture reading. Are all ways that we grow, but focusing specifically on the ways in which we encourage and support one another. These are the three basic ways that God works through us to support and encourage and to give us growth. If we do not exercise our faith in these ways, we will over time atrophy. We will atrophy. So in closing, again, God has worked into his creation lessons for us. Psalm 19 is truthfully saying that his creation declares God. And Paul is correct in Romans when he says that every single human being that has ever lived is without excuse. Because God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature are clearly manifested in what he has made. Today, brothers and sisters, we've looked at this illustration of the body, the human body, as Paul calls us to, as we consider how we grow and nourish one another. Let us remember that our head is Christ, and all the work that the body might do to encourage and build itself up is useless apart from the head. We are simply bodies on life support. But connected to the head through whom all of our growth comes are the means by which we gather together to encourage and build one another up. Let us run and take advantage of these opportunities that we are given in worship, showing hospitality to one another, in fellowship with one another. For as our physical body grows and is strengthened through activity, so too, brothers and sisters, is the body of Christ. Amen. Our gracious Father, we pray that you would take these words and apply them to each of our hearts. Lord, we all have room to grow. We can't for one second stop and think, I have arrived in our spiritual walk, in our life with you. We must at all times be looking at how can I grow? How can I flourish? May we, Lord, as we look upon these ways in which we as a body can encourage one another and build one another up, let us wholeheartedly take advantage of these opportunities through worship, through hospitality, through fellowship. And may we, Father, glorify you as we do these, because we could do these things, but yet not really be built up at all. All of our growth comes through the head, that is Jesus Christ. May you, Father, cause us all to grow to full maturity in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.